Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/picturelock. There's over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another Picture Lock Unlocked episode. The inaugural Fall Back Spring Forward segment of the show was pretty fun and awesome to do with contributor Robert Winship. We ran out of time on the radio, so I wanted to put the full entire, man, we talked for a good 30 to 40 minutes. And we kind of got off track a little bit, but I want to be able to put that in because that's some of the fun of cinema and film talk. So what you're about to hear is the entire talk that we had. We were talking about our most anticipated and least anticipated fall movies. So this is the interview in its entirety. Again, please head on over to picturelockshow.com for movie reviews, news, and if you live in the DMV area, I'm giving away screenings to certain films, so you can find all that good stuff there. Follow me on social media. Everything is at picturelockshow. And at the end of this podcast, if you really enjoyed it, give us a review in iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, whatever you listen to. Definitely appreciate your support. Without further ado, let's go ahead and get into this unlocked episode of the Fall Back, Spring Forward Fall Movie Preview segment.
Hey everybody, this is filmmaker Joe Carabeo. You are listening to the best show in the whole entire planet, Picture Lock.
You're listening to Picture Lock. I'm your host, Kevin Sampson, and with fall falling between September 22nd and December 20th this year, I wanted to implement a new segment of the show for the season. I'm calling it Fall Back, Spring Forward. In it, I'll talk about movies that are most and least anticipated. Joining me for this inaugural segment I'm instituting is Picture Lock contributor Robert Winship. Robert,
what up?
What's happening, man?
Let's spring forward to this business.
Let's spring forward. All right, folks. So as I said, I'm instituting a new segment, Fall Back, Spring Forward. As we come to the end of summer and look ahead to the fall slate of films, we know we're going to start seeing some amazing work in the cinema, but there will still be those films that should not have gotten a green light. So this is how it's going to work. Robert and I have five most anticipated and five least anticipated films. We'll name the film that we want to fall back, aka the ones we don't care to see, for the ones that we want to spring forward or we're really excited for. So it's like these movies can take a seat, these movies can come forward. You ready to do this, Robert?
I'm ready.
All right, so number five for me, Inferno can fall back. This is directed by Ron Howard, starring Tom Hanks and Felicity Jones, Ben Foster. I mean, it sounds like it has a great cast, but I'm just not into these films anymore. Robert Langdon wakes up in an Italian hospital with amnesia. He teams up with Dr. Sienna Brooks, and together they must race across Europe against the clock to foil a deadly global plot. So we've seen the Da Vinci Code, and I think I don't even remember what, the one that was in between that.
This Angels is Angels and Demons.
Thank you, Angels and Demons. I didn't even watch that. It was like
I didn't either. I have no desire to watch or read those books.
Yeah, it just looks horrible. Like from the trailer, I am not impressed. It looks like so many different cinema tropes that we've seen before, and quite frankly, Tom Hanks looks like he is asleep at the wheel picking up a check. So, you know, that one can fall back. For me, it's coming up pretty soon, September 22nd, The Magnificent Seven, flipping over to, if we want to make a little link between the two, Tom Hanks was in Philadelphia with Denzel Washington, who stars in The Magnificent Seven. And we know that The Magnificent Seven is based off of Seven Samurai, Akira Kurosawa. And so basically, this is set in the Old West. Seven gunmen in the Old West gradually come together to help a poor village against savage thieves. We got Denzel Washington, Chris Pratt, Ethan Hawke, and this is like a racially diverse cast. And I'm really excited about that. I'm really excited about seeing Denzel. Antoine Fuqua is directing. So, you know, they made magic with Training Day.
They did.
So I'm definitely looking forward to seeing The Magnificent Seven. I am a big Denzel Washington fan. I talk about the Denzel Washington is the greatest actor of all time podcast all the time with W. Kamau Bell and Kevin Avery. And I love Denzel. Been loving him since I was a little kid. Tried to do the whole acting thing like him when I was a kid, but you know. Anyways, Robert is like looking at me like, okay, that's enough.
No, wait. What were you trying to imitate? Which Denzel performance were you trying to imitate?
Oh man, any and everyone. It's this thing called Denzelishness, as they say on the podcast. The walk. I mean, the dude can walk, and on top of that, he can just make you believe whatever he's saying. So yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing that film. Any thoughts?
I think as far as Inferno is concerned, I already just do. Dan Brown is not a good writer. Those movies, as far as adaptations are concerned, I completely understand why they're done. But they just, there doesn't seem to be any great hook. Plus, Tom Hanks is in everything. Do I need another Tom Hanks, a big budget Tom Hanks film? I love him, but if I'm going to go see one, it's certainly not going to be Inferno.
Yeah, and I think I'd rather see Sully.
I agree. And even though I love Ron Howard, as far as The Magnificent Seven, there's a lot riding on Anton Fuqua's shoulders with this, so I'm very interested to see it. It's definitely, it's one that could maybe turn sour depending on how well he handled it, but it's at least exciting to think about the prospect of how good. And like you said, Denzel, man, if he's performing at the top of his game or even near the top of his game, I think that can carry the movie quite far.
Oh yeah, most definitely. All right, Robert, so let's switch it up. What about you? What's your number five?
Okay, let's go with two recent ones. First of all, are we doing Fall Back or Spring Forward first?
Fall Back first.
Fall Back first. I'm going to go with Nerve. This is directed by Henry Joost. This is aimed maybe a little bit more at the teen set. Stars Emma Roberts and Dave Franco. I'll just go ahead and read the description. V. Delmonico is tired of living life on the sidelines. Pressured by her friends, she decides to join Nerve, a popular online game that challenges players to accept a series of dares. It's not long before the adrenaline-fueled competition requires her to perform increasingly dangerous stunts. So both this and my Spring Forward movie involve kind of a modern, in this case, slightly futuristic look at our interaction with technology. Though I really like Emma Roberts, and I actually really love Dave Franco. James Franco's less pretentious, a lot more fun younger brother. Like, I saw him for the first time in, I think it was Now You See Me, and I was like, I kind of like him.
Uh-huh.
He's just doing a good job. He's fun to be around. He's like a more laid-back Zac Efron.
Nice.
That said, I just don't see this movie transcending kind of the boundaries of a sort of teen kind of digital era flick. Henry Joost, the director, had done Paranormal Activity 3 and 4 and the movie Catfish, both of which, again, kind of take a look at digital media in our modern landscape. I like the idea. I just don't think it's going to be very good. And I think there are other movies, specifically the one I'm about to spring forward, that'll take at least a more interesting look into where we stand in this digital age. And so with that, I'll say spring forward on Snowden.
Best I can tell, you've been walking around two broken legs for weeks.
When do I go back?
You ever again land on those legs of yours, those bones will turn to powder. Plenty other ways to serve your country.
You want it to be special forces?
Yes, sir.
Why do you want to join the CIA?
I'd like to help my country make a difference in the world.
The average test time is 5 hours.
I'm done, sir.
It's been 40 minutes.
38 minutes? What should I do now?
Whatever you want.
The deputy director of the NSA offered me a new position.
Can you tell me anything about it?
You know I can't.
Find the terrorist in the internet haystack.
You're making people very happy.
Thank you.
You ready for a little action?
Oh, this looks cheesy.
How is this all possible?
Think of it as a Google search, except instead of searching only what people make public, we're also looking at everything they don't. Emails, chats, SMS, whatever.
Yeah, but which people?
The whole kingdom, Snow White.
Which is director Oliver Stone's biopic about Edward Snowden. And this stars Joseph Gordon-Levitt as the titular character and Shailene Woodley as his girlfriend. Oliver Stone is a controversial director, to say the least, and he is not light. he does not have a light touch when it comes to his politics. So that's why this movie is more interesting to me, because I really see him trying to make a big old point.
Right.
Now, I don't know if that point needs to be made. Citizen 4, the documentary about Edward Snowden, was already a fantastic, patient, beautiful look at the behind the scenes before we came to know who Edward Snowden was. That said, Joseph Gordon-Levitt seems like he's doing a pretty good job at channeling the kind of low energy of old Eddie Snowden. And this one is going to involve more of the relationship with his girlfriend, which was talked about a little bit in the wake of the release of this documents through WikiLeaks. So Snowden at least is going to have a powerful fist of political action behind it. Whether Oliver Stone strikes correctly or it's a misfire, I think it'll be interesting either way.
Yeah, most definitely. And I think on that note, you know, when you get a director that is kind of known for having a certain voice, especially at somebody that's not afraid of controversy, and on such a controversial topic as Edward Snowden, and, you know, is he a traitor? Is he not? You know, I think that that's going to be pretty awesome. Unfortunately, I have to correct you. Nerve, you must not be looking forward to the DVD release, because it already came out this summer.
Oh no.
But hey, hey, that's all right. That's all right. That's all right.
That's why it's my number five.
All right, so let's move it forward. For me, fallback number four is Bridget Jones's Baby.
You're single, right?
Well, I'm, yes, I suppose so. And how did you two meet?
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, it's sort of a funny story, sort of. You see, a few months ago, on the 4th of the month, I met Jack at a music festival.
Right.
And we got on very well, and sort of had relations. And the next week, that is to say, on the 11th of the month at Jude's baby christening, to be exact, following the consumption of quite a lot of alcohol, Mark and I, well, we had similar relations. And this is the funny part, I suppose. Owing to these relations, the resulting life form currently residing in my tummy could actually, in fact, be either of yours.
Oh my goodness, are you serious? Like, the other, I think it was last night, my wife and I were watching TV, and she goes, they're still making movies about this? And that's it. That's just how I feel. It comes out in theaters September 15th, and this is following Bridget Jones as she enters her 40s, and she's about to have a baby. Stars Renee Zellweger. What's his name? McDreamy.
Patrick Dempsey.
Yeah, exactly. And Colin Firth, is it?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I do not care to see it, and I really don't care about Bridget Jones' story at all at this point. That can fall back. In the meantime, spring forward, Arrival. This is going to be in theaters November 11th, and if you look at the trailer for it, it looks incredible. Amy Adams is a linguist who's recruited by the military to assist in translating alien communications. And it just looks awesome. It's based off of the short story, Story of Your Life. And actually, earlier in the show, we were talking with Molly Dedham, who's already seen this at Telluride Film Festival, and she confirmed this is a great film. And so I'm really looking forward to seeing Arrival. That's going to be a pretty awesome mystery sci-fi film.
Okay. So I also chose Bridget Jones' Baby as a fallback.
Nice.
And was about to say that. So I saw, I mean, you've seen both the Bridget Jones movies, or just at least the first one?
I saw the first one, and that, even when that was out, I feel like I was a kid, like in high school or something. Like,
it was 2001.
Yes, I was a senior in high school. Oh. That's like ridiculous. Why are you still, like, really? Who's going to watch that?
Right. Again, we live in an age of, like, pre-existing property is king. So right. There are two movies. I don't actually know what the box office performance was for Bridget Jones, The Edge of Reason, the 2004 follow-up. But the first one was a fairly successful adaptation. It's kind of a funny movie. It's not necessarily for me, but I enjoyed Zellweger's performance. I love Colin Firth and anything he does. But yeah, this like 16 years later, 15 years later, I don't know who's clamoring for it. But again, maybe this just kind of pads out. They know exactly what they're going to make or know roughly what they're going to make with a movie that people, you know, I guess are still, I don't know, asking for. At the very least, the director is coming back, Sharon Maguire, who directed the original Bridget Jones Diary, though not the follow-up. So that's something. Again, Colin Firth is good, but I just don't see any reason for this movie to exist for me, although I completely understand why the studio system churned it out.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I hear you on that. Spring Forward.
This is an easy one. Blair Witch. Now, this was about 2 months before, or 2 years before Bridget Jones' Baby, so I'm kind of tying this up with movies that are being rebooted from the late 90s, early 2000s. And this one does not follow the Book of Shadows, which was the weird Blair Witch sequel. This one kind of goes back to the style of the original one, directed by Adam Wingert, who I believe had directed the American adaptation of Wreck, which was called VHS, a pretty good movie. And again, we live in an age where there is before Blair Witch and after Blair Witch. So there's a lot riding on this, which means, again, like with The Magnificent Seven, it could fail, but I think it's got to fail in a big way because there's so much to how we now experience cinema, both the kind of cinema verite of like kids out in the woods shooting their own stuff, and then also kind of a more, I don't know, maybe a more interesting look at our digital selves. This does not star unknowns as the first one did. This one does have some fairly recent actors, although not terribly well known. Callie Hernandez, who's in the new Alien Covenant movie. The synopsis is, after discovering a video showing what he believes to be his sister's experience in the demonic woods of the Blair Witch, James and his group of friends head to the forest in search of his lost sibling. So I think, again, it's got to at least be interesting. This comes out pretty soon, so just in time for Halloween to get your kicks, I'd say go see Blair Witch and drop Bridget Jones' Baby.
Most definitely. And like you said, I hate horror films these days. Like, the stuff just sticks with me for way too long, so I kind of avoid it. But this might be one that I actually check out. I remember when I first saw the Blair Witch Project, I was like, I think, again, this is in high school. And I remember watching it and being like, this is so long and this is so drawn out and it's so boring. But the last shot was worth everything that led up to it. And that, I can still see that frame in my head. So I'm definitely looking forward to that.
There's no way it's going to touch the original as far as the impact, but it was, yeah, you're right. That the final shot of that movie that everyone remembers, and the screaming, like, it's just such kind of a visceral experience.
Right.
And really, the whole movie, this way it slowly kind of unwinds the sanity of these three characters. It was just kind of a perfect little movie done on such a low budget.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I think it still has an impact, and I'm excited to see Blair Witch.
Most definitely. All right, you're listening to Picture Lock. I'm your host, Kevin Sampson. With me, I have Picture Lock contributor Robert Winship. We are talking about our fallback spring forward films of this fall. And right now we're in to the number three. Sticking with that Halloween theme, I think I'm going to go for the next two with Halloween films. Rings. This is going to hit theaters October 28th. A young woman finds herself on the receiving end of a terrifying curse that threatens to take her life in 7 days. This is directed by F. Javier Gutierrez. Stars Vincent D'Onofrio, which typically when I see that name, I'm like, okay, you know, he's a solid actor. I am not looking forward to seeing this. I think The Ring was amazing. When I first saw that, and that when that girl came out of the TV, the whole theater, like, everyone freaked out. And you almost felt like she was about to come out of the screen. Like, everyone screamed. Everyone backed up in their seat. Like, it was horrifying. And then The Ring 2 was just like, okay. Like, yeah, I bought them both on DVD because I was like in college or whatever and I had the money to blow. But looking at this, Rings, it doesn't look like it's exploring anything new. And from, you know, just from the trailer, I mean, it's the same thing. It's 7 days and she comes and gets you. So, you know, will she get this girl or not? And I'm sure it's going to be a few creepy things along the way, but I'm just not looking forward to it. Now, switching gear to what can spring forward, my number three, this will be right at the end of fall, Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. So this is going to be December 16th, 2016. And in it, the Rebellion makes a risky move to steal the plans to the Death Star, setting up the epic saga to follow. So this is directed by Gareth Edwards. And again, this is a cast that I love seeing, multicultural casts. It just looks amazing. I mean, the fact that they're fighting on a beach and all this kind of stuff, it's like, you know, Star Wars is definitely one of those before Star Wars, after Star Wars type films. And being able to go to like a prequel to when they actually tried to attempt to steal the Death Star plans, which we know had to have happened because they were able to shoot it and blow it up and all that good stuff. But I mean, so far from the first trailer, the second trailer that's come out already, everything just looks intriguing. Mm-hmm. And by that, I mean, who knows? It might suck, but I got a feeling that it won't. And it can spring forward. I'd watch it right now. I love the trailer. I think I watched that first trailer like over and over just because that, like that was amazing to me. Anyways, so that's my number three. What about you?
Okay, again, we are on the same boat. I say fallback rings.
Nice.
Yeah.
We didn't talk about this beforehand, folks.
We did not. And this is a reasonably big movie. Again, calling from the same, like, early 2000s. There was Ring, which was an adaptation of a Japanese movie called Ringu, which was actually a pretty good The Ring might have actually been better than its Japanese inspiration. However, two movies after that, I just can't see it doing anything new other than the same crawling out of the TV, maybe crawling out of the computer screen shot. I $20 says someone's crawling out of a laptop.
That definitely could happen. And in the trailer, you see that the TV hits the floor and then it starts to, man, come on.
there's nothing new to say. I don't imagine that it's going to be inventive. And why not just go back and watch The Ring again? I think that was a fantastic movie. And so, yeah, I agree with you. You said all that needed to be said. Before I go on to my pick for Spring Forward, which is a bit of a departure from yours, I wanted to ask you, because I knew you were going to do Rogue One, are you kind of reaching a saturation point with Star Wars? I mean, there's almost nothing save the Marvel Universe that has gotten the kind of press, that has gotten the kind of promotional push, maybe ever, that Star Wars has gotten. So it's like there's a post-Star Wars world in the 80s and 90s, but now there's like a post-Star Wars as a fully realized commercial enterprise that it now is, and it's insane. Is this sucking some of the fun out of Star Wars?
You know, for me personally, like, I don't get into all the books and the mini movies, and so when a film comes out, That's what I watch. And and I obviously I know like there's Clone Wars, there's like animated films and stuff like that. But I don't immerse myself in it so much, and there's so many other things to watch that when that actually, you know, comes out, hits the big theaters, then I'm like, okay, cool, another Star Wars film. So, but I understand what you're saying. Honestly, you know, what George Lucas did was he ushered in that empire of not only are you going to see the film, but you're going to be able to buy the book bag and the toys and, you know, all that extra stuff that comes along with it. So I get what you mean in terms of the oversaturation of the market. But, you know, respect to Star Wars, like who didn't want to make things levitate and have a lightsaber growing up and stuff like that? So I'm excited about it.
I definitely see if you can see the movie as a standalone thing, which it is both literally and then how we talk about films sort of figuratively. I agree. It does look like an exciting movie and I cannot wait to see it. I will definitely go see it. But I when I can like go to the dollar store and see it loaded with Star Wars stuff, when I know that it's come down to even like every place I go, I just Star Wars stuff, Star Wars stuff, Star Wars stuff. It's becoming a little like kind of brutal to like channel the inner excitement of a, you know, like of being a kid and watching them on VHS, which was so exciting.
Right, right.
And now it's like you can't get away from it, not even if you want to.
True, true.
But still an exciting movie.
You and I need to shop in the same places, and then you'll miss it.
we'll pick that up on our on the other podcast.
Right.
So for Spring Forward, this may be my most anticipated movie, but because I chose Rings as my fallback, I'm going to choose The Handmaiden as my Spring Forward. This is a directorial effort from Park Chan-wook, who directed one of the most amazing, brilliant, brutal movies of the last 20 years, that is Old Boy,
yeah,
which also received an adaptation a few years back. He has not directed a lot of feature-length films. I think there's only been one or two since around 2006. So this is a big comeback for somebody who originally had done the Vengeance trilogy, Sympathy for Mr. Vengeance, Lady Vengeance, and Old Boy. And Old Boy, as a standalone piece, is such a beautiful, brutal piece of filmmaking. And I am so excited at how the early reports of this being an equally stirring, graphic, brutal movie. Set in the Korea in the 1930s, con man Count Fujiwara hires a pickpocket named Suki to become the maid of the mysterious and fragile heiress, Lady Hideko, in an attempt to seize her wealth. But the story takes a twist when the lady falls in love with her maid.
Mm.
Old Boy, you asked me on the last episode I did with you, like, what kind of movies do I like? This is checking all the boxes. A foreign film set in a past Korea that promises to both be sexually graphic and completely violent. This is it. I'm sure this will air at E Street, and I will be there on the midnight showing if at all possible.
Right.
It's rare to see a movie that is able to keep its graphic tendencies in check with beauty, and I think that Park Chan-wook is able to do that, and I look forward to this movie being that.
Yeah, most definitely. And I totally agree with you on Old Boy. I remember, you know, a lot of times for me, my gauge is my wife, right? So I'm like a cinemaphile. I watch any and everything for the most part. And so, you know, when things that impress me is not like what the average film goer are impressed with. But we both watched Old Boy together, and she was just as enthralled. So that always lets me know, like, this is great writing, this is great directing. And so you're right, Park Chan-wook is an amazing writer and director. I loved Sympathy for Mr. Vengeance, Lady Vengeance. So yeah, like, ah man, this is something that I definitely want to see as well. I think it promises to be something amazing.
Right. I certainly don't mean to say that I want movies to be exploitative, which is maybe perhaps why I like him so much. Again, it's about a balance, and it's about using these kind of disparate elements to craft a beautiful story that you may not otherwise get to see.
Right. You're listening to Picture Lock. I'm your host, Kevin Sampson. I am in the driver's seat with my main man, Robert Winship. We're
shotgun.
Yeah. We're talking about our fallback Spring Forward films. We're reaching number two. Right now, my fallback number two is Boo, a Madea.
Reports are coming in of an unknown virus spreading around the world.
CDC urges everyone to stay indoors.
Mass hysteria.
Boo, bitches! Why are you running? I don't play that Halloween bullshit. She's a super freak. Happy Halloween. She's super freaking now. Boo!
Tyler Perry's Boo, a Madea Halloween.
Halloween. Now, this is coming out October 21st, and Madea winds up in the middle of mayhem when she spends a haunted Halloween fending off killers, paranormal poltergeists, ghost ghouls, and zombies while keeping a watchful eye on a group of misbehaving teens. This is written, directed, and starring Tyler Perry, Bella Thorne, and Brock O'Hearn. Now, this is a deal, Robert. I will see Boo, a Madea Halloween.
Where will you go see this? What's the theater to go see Madea?
I will probably see some kind of bootleg version of it. Because this is the thing. Like, Tyler Perry, I love and hate Tyler Perry, right? Like, I respect him as a businessman, an entrepreneur,
As a filmmaker, no, sir. Like, you know, he came upon it in terms of, like, honestly, in terms of really working hard, and he's that guy that, like, just pulled up his sleeves and just got to work, you know? But his films are all the same. And, you know, I respect it. I love it in terms of the Christian themes and all that kind of stuff. I don't mind that, but it's just the fact that it's so over the top. And the Madea character, honestly, she's a one-note character. Mm-hmm. I get how people love her and think it's funny. And like I said, I'll see it. I probably will laugh. But it's one of those things that, like, it's always opening cold because film critics pan it every time. Mm-hmm. It's just not great filmmaking to me. It's bubblegum, you know, it's bubblegum filmmaking. Now, again, like, it's one of those things that I'll experience, maybe watch it with the wife, like I said, some bootleg version of it. And we'll have a couple laughs, and then it's like, well, what's for dinner? What are we doing tomorrow? You know, it's nothing that we're going to talk about the next day. But sometimes he does have, like, those winning lines that have become culturally relevant. So anyways, my number two fallback is Boo, a Madea Halloween. Tyler Perry, if you ever want to come on Picture Lock, please do. You know, like I said, I respect you, but I'm not trying to see this film. All right, my number two spring forward is Moonlight. Now, this is going to be coming out on the same weekend, October 21st. And so I will be going to see this, Robert, either in theaters or at the critics press screening ahead of time. Now, Molly Dedham talked about this. It showed at Telluride, and she confirmed that this is a great film. It's directed by and written by Barry Jenkins. Basically, the synopsis is a three-part narrative spanning the childhood, adolescence, and adulthood of an African-American man who survives Miami's drug-plagued inner city, finding love in unexpected places and the possibility of change within himself. Now, the thing about this is it's really about a man trying to come into his own and also deal with what's going on inside him. So you get to see the younger version of himself, a little bit older, and the adult version. And by all means, if you just watch the trailer, you're just automatically enthralled. This looks like it's going to be amazing. And the fact that I think it's an all-African-American cast, and it's a subject that in the African-American community, I think, is not always talked about. I think that's what's going to be really interesting in terms of seeing it on the big screen. And like I said, Molly already confirmed that this thing is awesome. When you got Mahershala Ali in it, you know, like, hey, you can't go wrong. But those are my number two.
I don't know too much about Moonlight, but I definitely want Moonlight is the name. That does sound really good. I would like to see that. Madea, on the other hand, do you when you watch these? I've watched like one. When you watch them, do you like genuinely laugh, or do you just find it like kind of unfunny and like, and the fact that there's so many of them that seem to come out?
No, there's sometimes like I genuinely laugh. Like, okay, I think with Madea films, it's definitely a niche for the African-American black community where you can see someone that you know, right? So Tyler Perry himself says that Madea is, you know, a construct of like his mom, his aunts, you know what I mean? So like there are times when I genuinely laugh, but just in terms of like the storyline, I'm like, okay, like we know that Madea is going to be, you know, shaping up some child and saying, you know, little girl, stop popping that gum. Like it's, So just like you laughed just now, like there's stuff that's like funny, but at the same time, it's just like, okay, we've seen this before. Please show a different story. You know, you can still get that same message across of, hey, the youth needs to shape up. And the fact that, you know, it takes a village to raise a child. But just figure out a different way to kind of go about doing that. Now, of course, the plays kind of lend itself to that. So, I mean, I don't, at the end of the day, like, I can't hate on what he's doing. He has built an empire and he puts a lot of people to work, which I think is amazing. But just as a film critic, I just you know, this is not something that I'm really excited about.
This is like Tyler Perry's version of Ernest Scared Stupid. He's becoming
right, exactly.
Okay, so here, I guess for number two, my fallback, we're going to go with another horror film because for all the great ones, there are some real redundant looking ones. This one, The Bye Bye Man, directed by Stacy Title, who, so far as I know, only directed some like kind of direct-to-DVD horror, which I might be okay with. But this adapted from the screenplay by a former Survivor contestant, I guess.
Hmm.
This stars both Doug Jones, who I love, and Carrie Ann Moss, who I also love. Doug Jones, you may know, he played Abe Sapien in the Hellboy series, and he also played in, he was in Pan's Labyrinth. He played the creepy eye hand monster.
Yeah.
He's a really talented guy, but this movie just seems kind of rote. Three friends stumble upon the horrific origins of the Bye-Bye Man, a mysterious figure. They discover the root cause of the evil behind the man, behind man's most unspeakable acts. So this, I guess this character kind of gets in people's heads and causes them to commit these crimes. It really just looks kind of boring, frankly. I would be excited to see Doug Jones in heavy makeup doing some of his creepy stuff. He's a very talented guy,
mm-hmm.
but it just kind of looks like a dull movie. The director doesn't seem to have done anything significant, and again, with a great new wave of horror films, we can do better.
Yeah.
On the other end, a movie of no real connection, and this is called The Salesman. The Salesman is an English translation of an Iranian title, directed by Asghar Farhadi. This movie, I don't know too much about it. The title is taken from Death of a Salesman. The movie centers around a couple whose relationship begins to turn sour during their performance of Arthur Miller's Death of a Salesman. So you have two really awesome elements right here at
wow.
the top. One,
that is awesome.
Referencing Arthur Miller, even if it's only a reference.
Right.
And two, I do like Iranian film. The AV Club said that it channels both Miller and Henrik Ibsen, so this very kind of play-like structure, it channels Ibsen and Chekhov, so a very play-like structure from a great Iranian director. I love the idea of honing in on kind of a relationship as it unwinds. It can be a really powerful insight into people, and a really great screenwriter and a really great director can make that a real force. And again, I can't get by how awesome it is to have a little Death of a Salesman reference. So The Salesman comes out on December 9th. Please go see that. My guess is that's going to be at E Street, maybe West End.
Of course, yeah.
And don't go see The Bye-Bye Man. Bye-bye to The Bye-Bye Man.
Nice. That I got a feeling that there's going to be a lot of witty quips when it comes to the review of The Bye-Bye Man. All right, you're listening to Picture Lock. I'm your host, Kevin Sampson. My man, Robert Winship, is rocking with me right now. As we talk about the films that we want to fall back and spring forward, we finally reached it, folks, the number one spot. All right. Robert, I'm going to go with Friend Request as my number one fallback. Mm. This comes out on the same weekend as my number one spring forward, most anticipated. Friend Request is directed by Simon Verhoeven. Man.
Any relation to Paul Verhoeven?
I do not know. That's a good question. But basically, with Friend Request, a college student unfriends a mysterious girl online. She finds herself fighting a demonic presence that wants to make her lonely by killing her closest friends. We've seen this already. Like, Unfriended came out a couple years back, and I think Unfriended probably did it better. With Unfriended, you stayed locked in the computer screen, and mm-hmm. it was like a group of friends that were chatting online. Everything kind of was played out before you within the computer screen. It was, I believe I gave it like a C or C+. It wasn't like the greatest film in the world, but I really appreciated what the filmmaker was trying to do in terms of making it where everything happened within this, you know, the webcams and all that kind of stuff. This just looks like that same film, but now we're not stuck in the computer screen. And quite frankly, it looks boring. So I'm not really looking forward to it. I don't think it's anything new in the genre. And as we kind of talked about, there's been a lot of great horror that has come out this year. Mm-hmm. I just don't think that this will be one of them. In the meantime, spring forward, my number one most anticipated film of the fall is The Birth of a Nation.
7 feet. Barren, strange fruit.
Heavenly Father, we come to thank you for your word and your will.
Blood on the leaves. And blood at the roots.
You listen to him, and you might just make it into heaven.
Amen.
Black bodies swinging in the southern breeze.
Submit yourselves to your masters with all respect.
Strange fruit hanging from the poplar trees.
Brethren, I pray you sing a new song. Sing praise in the assembly of the righteous. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let the high praise of God be on the mouths of the saints and a two-edged sword in their hands to execute vengeance on the demonic nations and punishments on those peoples, to bind their kings with chains. Dishonor have all his saints. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Sing to him a new song.
Now, this hits theaters the same time, the same weekend, October 6th, and it's about Nat Turner, who is a literate slave and preacher in the antebellum South who orchestrates an uprising. This is directed, written, and starring Nate Parker. You know, earlier this year, I think it sold for $17 million. It's wow. Huge at Sundance. Friend of the show, Tim Gordon, has seen it. He saw it like twice. And he's still excited to see it again.
Wow.
So, you know, the buzz around this is huge. Unfortunately, the controversy is almost equally as huge. And in some ways, I kind of feel like it's been done in such a way to slay the film's award promise. But I will say this. I remember I grew up in South Carolina, right? Mm-hmm. So in the South, growing up, history is a lot different when it comes to, you know, your history classes. Mm-hmm. When I got up here to D.C. in the northern area, there's so many stories about slavery and people that were abolitionists that I never was taught in South Carolina. So when I was in about middle school and my mom told me about Nat Turner, I was like, oh, my goodness, I can't believe that such a person existed. And I think the big thing about this film that a lot of people are afraid of maybe and don't want to see is for the first time we have a slave film in which the lead is strong the entire time. This is a leader. This is a guy that's conflicted between, you know, some of his moral religious code and what's happening in front of him. And so I'm excited to see this. I honestly, this is one of those films that as a kid I was like, oh, that would be so cool to make a movie about Nat Turner. But I never thought it would happen just because of the what happened and what happened in the past in terms of Nat Turner's story. So to see this actually hit the big screen, you know, I'm excited to see it. It's definitely my number one.
Okay. What do you feel about the title, reclaiming a very racist movie, a racist if beautiful movie from the 20s? Do you like that tie to early film history?
That's what I love. I love that. Birth of a Nation, as I've always said, even when I teach basic editing, love it or hate it. You know, I hate the racism in it, but it really laid out everything that we see in film today, from the different types of shots, dollies, cranes. I mean, it is in that sense one of the leaders. So, you know, to kind of have that play on the title, I do appreciate that.
Okay. I'm definitely excited to see that too. And it is kind of a bummer to see. How do you separate the work of a person from maybe that person's personal history.
Right.
When a movie like this seems so very important, and the story certainly is important to tell. So hopefully people will go out there and see it and get the story if they don't necessarily see it as supporting the director.
Most definitely.
My last two are actually some of the last two released this year. I'll say fall back to The Space Between Us.
I want to go to Mars. I wrote those words when I was 12 years old. Mars is a planet ready for life. In 20 hours, 6 astronauts will travel to Mars, not to visit, but to live there. Zero gravity. It's uncharted territory. His heart will simply not have the strength in the Earth's gravity. Bones will be brittle.
He wouldn't even survive the trip back to Earth.
So the child remains classified on Mars?
Yes.
What I have dubbed the Sad Space Teens movie. This one's directed by Peter Chesum, who directed the Hannah Montana movie, Serendipity, Hector and the Search for Happiness, which had some promise but was kind of bad. The first human born on Mars, whose astronaut mother was discovered pregnant on the voyage and died in childbirth because of Mars gravity, travels to Earth for the first time. Experiencing the wonders of the planet through fresh eyes, he embarks on an adventure with a street-smart girl that he video chatted with while on Mars to discover how he came to be, and they fall in love. There's a lot of YA fiction being adapted. There's a lot of kind of young adult, kind of late teens movies. This is another one of those. It just does not seem promising. Aja Butterfield, who was, I believe he was in, what's the Scorsese movie? Hugo.
Yeah.
He's in Hugo. And this actually starts
Ender's Game.
Ender's
Boy
Game.
Boy with the Striped Pajamas.
Boy with the Striped Pajamas. It also has Gary Oldman and Carla Gugino, both of whom I love. I'm not really excited about YA kind of films, and this one seems like a real stretch of a premise that I think is just going to be a little too sappy and a little too pointless, even as beautiful as the cinematography in space may be.
Yeah, and I think Butterfield is kind of like one of the leaders in that YA film genre, but like you said, I think it's kind of just a little too, it's like, it is, I think, maybe for the YA crowd, I could see how it's like that hormones, you know, falling in love for the first time, that type of, you know, at that age level. I could see how that might be great, and it's probably going to appeal to them. But yeah, I think as adults, we're just kind of like, ah.
How many metaphors do you need for the, you know, the distance between two teens? For every Perks of Being a Wallflower, it looks like there's probably going to be about 20 spaces between us.
Right.
So, and I'll finish up with Spring Forward. This one is called Patterson. It releases on December 28th, directed by Jim Jarmusch and starring Adam Driver. I love Jim Jarmusch, and he's able to do a lot with a little. He actually has a couple movies coming out this year, but this, I believe, is the only kind of narrative fiction effort. I will watch Adam Driver do anything. He's a compelling lead. He's interesting. He's thoughtful. I like him as a person. I love him as an actor. This movie centers, Patterson is a bus driver and poet from the city of Patterson, New Jersey. Every day follows much the same pattern. After work, he returns home, has dinner with his wife, and walks his dog to the bar for just one beer. Laura, his wife, urges him to make copies of his lovely observational verse, but he never seems to get around to it until a small disaster threatens to shatter their ideal. Again, love Adam Driver. Jim Jarmusch is able to hone in on interesting characters, and depending on how good the script is, I think it could be a really thoughtful. I think this is going to be kind of a slow film, but I'm really excited to see what these two individuals working together are able to achieve. And toward the end of the year, when you're going to get a lot of sappy stuff and you're going to have a lot of Star Wars oversaturation, this is going to be the antidote for both of those things. Patterson, December 28th. Go see that and drop The Space Between Us.
All right, my man. So, Robert, you kind of cheated on the beginning and the end because December 28th. It's only by 1 week.
Because Christmas movies.
Totally.
I couldn't remember the dates.
Right. I'm giving you a hard time, man. That Patterson does sound pretty cool. I love what you just said. So we know that, you know, the fall season is when we get all of the priming for awards. And so, as I like to say, American cinema finally starts to step up, and we start seeing some of those great films in which we're actually making a statement. So that's it for the first ever Fall Back, Spring Forward segment. Robert, man, thanks so much for doing this with me. This was fun.
As always, it is a pleasure. I know we talked for forever, but thanks for having me on. I look forward to the next time.
Most definitely. Hey, everybody. I appreciate everyone that listens to the Picture Lock podcast. And for you, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. If you're like me, then it's been a while since you've sat down and read a book, but it hasn't been long since you listened to a podcast. In fact, you're listening to one right now. Why? Because you're able to be entertained, informed, or educated on the go. That's kind of how I like my books as well. With Audible.com, I can listen to Joseph Campbell's The Hero with a Thousand Faces or Robert McKee's story when I'm in the mood for learning about the craft, or Malcolm Gladwell's The Tipping Point when I'm trying to learn how to be a better influencer. The point is, a wealth of knowledge is at your fingertips. All you have to do is go to audibletrial.com/picturelock for a free 30-day trial. It's that easy. Again, that's audibletrial.com/picturelock for a free 30-day trial to Audible. Ride sharing is all the rave these days. Wherever you're headed, count on Lyft for rides in minutes. Whether you're riding solo or with friends, with Lyft, you've got options. Get picked up by one of their drivers who will get you where you need to go. When the ride ends, just pay and rate your driver through your phone. It's quick, it's easy, and just a couple taps away. Visit Lyft.com for more details. And if you haven't tried Lyft yet, but want to give it a whirl with a $50 ride credit, sign up at Lyft.com/invited/picturelockshow. That's right. If you're a new member to Lyft and in an eligible market, you can get a $50 ride credit with Picturelock. Again, that's Lyft.com/invited/picturelockshow for a free $50 ride credit.